Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this time, Lord, that you have given us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us is born again, Father. Our hearts opened to receiving your word. Each one of us is alive by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, to who you are and to all that you are. And Father, we know that as long as we are alive to you, Father, in the fullness of your Son, as long as we are alive to you by the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we know, Lord, that your salvation is being manifested in us. Your salvation is a reality that is growing in us, Father. Indeed, we are being set free from the law of sin and death. Indeed, we are being brought forth as a people holy unto you, as instruments that you are fashioning and forming in the substance of the Master's fullness, as instruments you are bringing forth in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Father, there is a great work being worked into us, Father. We are being saved. And the word of the cross is being manifested to us so that the power of the living God will enable us to walk into this reality and stay in this reality, so that we will continually, O God, be set free from every darkness. We will continually, O Lord, be brought forth, O God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. A peculiar people, a chosen people, an anointed people, O God, set apart unto you, Father. So as you train us, as you mold us, as you shape us, as you continue to release your word into us, as you continue to expand our hearts and our minds, as you continue, O God, to bring forth in us a growing transformation, Father, we know that what was unveiled in us on the day we were born again, Father, is continuing to grow in us, Father. There is an awesome miracle of life being manifested in us. There is an awesome reality and conviction, O God, of the wonder of being alive to you, Father, being unveiled in us. And we pray, Father, that we will be enabled, empowered, energized by your Spirit in Christ Jesus to communicate this reality of salvation into the lives of others, Father. For that is so important, Father, because it is as we proclaim our testimony in salvation, Father, that we truly declare, O God, your victory, Lord. We truly declare the name of Jesus. So we pray that you will bless us each with a heart and a conviction of being able, O Lord, to communicate your salvation at all times, Father, even in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, that there will be a continual communication of salvation in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed, in intent, attitude, desire, and imagination, in object and purpose, in will and emotion, in character, in nature, in personalities, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, in spirit, soul, and body, in heart and in mind. Let salvation, O God, manifest as the testimony of our lives, Lord. Enable us to do this in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Enable us to do this in a living and growing communication of your living and abiding word, Father. We ask this, we pray this, as a reality that will be manifested in the body of Christ across the world, both Jew and Gentile, Father. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on the subject of being born again. Let's just turn to John chapter 3. Verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, this is Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we have established in the first tape in this module 6 that we must be born again in order to be able to receive, realize the realities of the kingdom of God. How are we born again? First Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding word of God." That is through the living and abiding word of God. When the word of God is manifested in us in living and abiding terms, we are born again. When the word of God is manifested in us in living and abiding terms, we are born again. Today we want to talk about this living and abiding word, because it is something that is very necessary to our understanding. We started this program by talking about the flow of the Word of God. And now we are talking about the flow of the Word of God being manifested in us in a living and abiding reality. The Word of the Lord being unveiled in our lives in a living and abiding reality. And us being able also to communicate what is living and abiding within us. By definition, that which is living and abiding is that which is from God, that which is sustained by God, and that which is nurtured by God. Because life does not come from any other source but from God. For the Word of God to be living and abiding, it must be the Word that is alive in us, in the reality of who God is and all that God is. When we are born again, God opens us to the realm of the Word that is mentioned in Psalm 138 verse 2. Let's look at that. When we are born again, God opens us to the realm of the Word that is in accordance with all of His name. Psalm 138 verse 2. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and I'm going to read the last two lines of that verse. Psalm 138 verse 2. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. The purpose of the word is to unveil all of God's name. God's name is I am who I am. I am that I am. I am who I am. I am that I am. The purpose of the Word of God is to unveil to us the reality of who He is and the reality of all that He is. This is the Word that is living and abiding. This is the Word that is living and abiding. It is living and abiding simply because it is communicating the reality of who God is and all that God is. It is the Word that communicates who God is and all that God is that comes to us in the reality of us being born again. It is that Word, something inside of us opened to the reality of God and we were born again. That's the Word that God wants us to receive, realize, and communicate. The living and abiding Word of God. The living and abiding Word of God. The church has the mandate to unveil this realm of the Word. To receive, realize, and express through each and every one of our lives, through the unique callings that are upon each one of us, the reality of who is God and all that God is. Simply because we are saved by the name of God. Let's turn to Psalm 54, verse 1. Psalm 54, verse 1. Here David makes a very, very great proclamation. He says, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power." Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power. Save me, O God, by thy name, and vindicate me by thy power. Save me, O God, by who you are, and by all that you are, and vindicate me in that power that comes from you. The Word that is living and abiding is meant to communicate this Word, this reality of who God is and all that God is. And fundamental to this living and abiding reality of the Word is salvation. Is salvation. Fundamental to the communication of the Word of God that is living and abiding is salvation. Because without salvation, we cannot live. So when God says that we are saved by the living and abiding Word of God, in that word, life is an implication of a reality called salvation. And this salvation must be a reality that abides in us. It must be a reality that is living in us. It is a reality in which we are unfolding as a new creation, as a new people, as a people who are peculiarly chosen to belong to God. David was a man of God. He lived a life that was a tremendous life. He was an anointed servant of the Lord. The Bible says that he slew Goliath. He was a man anointed with tremendous courage and conviction. But here in Psalm 54 verse 1, he comes into the reality of something that is basic and fundamental to all of us. He finds out that his righteousness, all that he can do, is totally inadequate. And so in this psalm, he recognizes the fact that God had to save him. And God had to save him by his name. God had to save him by who he is and all that he is. And God had to vindicate him with all of his power. How does God do that? Through the living and abiding word. Through the word that is glorified according to all of his name. It is that word that Jesus came to explain. It is that realm of the word that is in accordance with who God is and all that God is that Jesus came to testify of and communicate into us. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 6. John chapter 17, verse 6. Jesus here declares something very important. This prayer is the prayer he prayed before he went to the cross. In this prayer, Jesus expressed the reality of all that will come forth through his victory on the cross. And so in verse 6, he declares something that is very important to us to understand. He says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Jesus came to manifest the name of God. Jesus came to manifest the name of God. He is going to the cross so that the name of God would be manifested to the human race. So he says, verse 8, for the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from thee. And they believed that thou didst send me. Jesus says something very important here. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. So how is the name of the Lord going to be manifested through Jesus Christ? The name of God is going to be manifested through Jesus Christ through words. The Greek word mentioned there is the Greek word rhema. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. Right? Verse 7 says, now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. And they received. And they received them and truly understood. And truly understood. Now they have come to know. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Now they have come to know. They have come to know because the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. The rhema which thou gavest me, I have given to them. Jesus came to communicate the word of God. Jesus came to communicate and explain the word of God to us. We know from John 6:63 that rhema is the spirit and life of Christ Jesus. That rhema is the spirit and life of Christ Jesus. We also know from Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. That Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. So the power that God has manifested in Christ Jesus that is to be unveiled in each and every one of us through his word comes to us through the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Logos word. He communicates to us through Rhema word. And what is manifested inside of us is Logos again. Right? The living and abiding word. That living and abiding word is defined in his spirit and his life. That living and abiding word is defined in his spirit and his life. Which is why Luke chapter 21, let's turn to that. Luke chapter 21, verse 33 says this, heaven and earth will pass away, But my words will not pass away. Now the Greek word for my words there is logos. And this word logos is what rhema is meant to communicate into us. When the rhema of the Lord is received by us, when it is manifested inside of us as living and abiding word, Jesus calls them my words, and those words are described by the Greek word logos, and he says those words will not pass away, which is why Peter says you are born again through the living and abiding word of God, which is imperishable, right? The reason why those words are imperishable is because those words have been explained into you and me in the testimony of Jesus. They are explained to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. So it is very important we understand this very important definition of the living and abiding word. The living and abiding word is according to who God is and all that God is. Right? And the reality of who God is and all that God is communicated to us in Christ Jesus through his testimony. And the testimony of Jesus is a communication in rhema. And that rhema is the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. When the spirit and life of Jesus Christ comes alive inside of us, so as to form the logos word in the tablets of our heart, that logos word is living and abiding. It is living simply because it has come in the rhema that carries the life of Jesus. It is abiding because it is enabled by the Spirit of Christ that also comes to us through rhema. It is abiding because it is sustained in the Spirit of Christ. Right? And there is someone who is involved in doing all of this work within us. He is called the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to John 6:63. John 6:63. That's why Jesus says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The rhema that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Right? They are spirit and they are life. When you receive that, right? Remember the teaching on the word, the parable of the sower? When we understand the word, we have the word. When we accept that word, we have the word. Right? We became Christians, we became born again when something inside of us received God's word. Something inside of us received God's word in the name of Jesus. Jesus came alive in us and we received the word that stands in the name of Jesus and we were born again. Paul puts it this way. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 to verse 11. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word that was quoted in the book of Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 and 15. The word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Right? So that is a manifestation of the law of God. Right? The law of God declares that the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Are you with me? That word is communicated to you in the New Testament when you confess with your mouth Jesus and as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What is that communication? It is the word of the cross, correct? The word of the cross declares that Jesus Christ is your Lord. He died for you. God raised him up from the dead. In him, you are saved. And that word of the cross, we said, was the basis on which a person was born, is born again. We talked about that in the last tape, right? Okay? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. The word of God is a proclamation. When we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, when we accept that and confess that with our mouth, what we have received in our heart is articulated. That's why we said right from the start that the word of God has to be articulated through your mouth. It has to be articulated through your mouth because this process of salvation only works as you unfold what is in your heart through your mouth. Are you listening? Right? It is so important that you know and understand that. Right? And you understand that in this basic reality, God is actually preparing each and every one of us to be ministers of his word. Correct? That the confession is not an end in itself. It is not just about you being saved. It is the basis on which God wants you to be his instrument. His instrument of salvation. Right? And each one of us is supposed to be a living expression of the reality of salvation. And this living reality of salvation exists in the living and abiding word of God that is alive in us in Jesus' name. That living and abiding word of God described in the spirit and life of Jesus, brought forth by the Holy Spirit in a living confession, enables us to be saved. What is saving us? It is the spirit and life of Jesus that is saving us. Are you listening? It is the spirit and life of Jesus that is saving us. Right? When you confess what you believe in your heart, you are giving life, right, to the spirit and life of Jesus that has been manifested inside of you. Right? That has been brought inside of you in Rhema terms. Right? When you confess that Jesus is Lord, right, and proclaim with your mouth that he saved you, that he died for you, right? You are declaring a reality of salvation. And this reality of salvation, right, is meant to be alive inside of you at all times. You are supposed to confess it with your mouth at all times. You can do that. You can do that as you learn how to speak and act in the name of Jesus in all that you do. And so this process of salvation is a living and abiding reality. So we are saved by the word of God that is manifested in us in a living and abiding reality. And that reality that is living and abiding is proclaimed every time we speak, with our heart believing that Jesus is Lord. Are you listening? Let's go over this again. God says that there is a living reality of the word that is in accordance with all of God's name. All of God's name. Right? All of God's name. So we understand fundamentally that the word of God has a purpose. And that purpose is to communicate the name of God. It is to communicate who God is. It is to communicate all that God is. And this communication of who God is and all that God is very basic to salvation. God saves us on the basis of who he is and all that he is. Are you with me? God unveiled that reality of who he is and all that he is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to explain God to us. Let's turn to another verse. John chapter 1. Verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading from the New American Standard. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. In the New American Standard, it is said, the only begotten God. And as a footnote, this Bible says that there are other manuscripts that use the word Son. So if you have a King James Bible, it says the only begotten Son. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, The King James uses, the New American Standard uses this phrase, He has explained Him. He has explained Him. Right? He has explained Him. What does the New King James say? Declared Him? 1 John, right? John chapter 1 verse 18. What does the New King James say? He has declared Him, right? Am I right? Yes, King James. He has declared Him, right? Right? He has declared Him. The New American Standard says He has explained Him. All right? So, this word that stands according to all of God's name can only be explained to us, can only be declared to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So, the reality that explains the word to us is in the name of Jesus is called the testimony of Jesus. And that testimony of Jesus is what a Rhema word is meant to communicate. Right? That testimony of Jesus is manifested in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. And that testimony of Jesus, when received in us, right, it manifests in us the living and abiding Word of God. So the living and abiding Word of God is alive in us only in the name of Jesus. Are we making that point clear? It is alive in us only in the name of Jesus. The Word of God cannot live and abide in us without the name of Jesus. We can see this another way. He is the Word of God. And the true living and abiding Word exists in His name. It exists in His spirit and His life. And that Word is imperishable. That Word is indestructible. Right? That Word stands, right? That's why Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Right? My words will remain. Are you listening? All right? So, why are we doing this? Why are we going into this? Very simply because you must understand what the living and abiding Word of God is. You must understand that the living and abiding Word of God only stands in the name of Jesus. It only stands in the name of Jesus. If you want to touch somebody's life, you have to communicate the testimony of Jesus. You must learn how to speak the Word of God, teach the Word of God, communicate the Word of God, pray the Word of God in the testimony of Jesus. Then that Word is living and abiding. Then that Word is a communication of the living and abiding Word of God. It is not a question of communicating a principle. The law cannot save anybody. Are you listening? The law cannot save anybody. That's why John 1:16 says, of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth is a manifestation of the living and abiding Word that comes to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is being communicated to you in His spirit, in His life. The fullness of Christ is the unveiling of the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is the only means by which the Word that stands according to all of God's name can be explained to you and me. No, nothing else can communicate that realm of the Word. And it is that realm of the Word that stands according to all of God's name that can save human beings, change human beings, transform human lives. It is that realm of the Word that is in accordance with all of God's name that is called the living and abiding Word. And that living and abiding Word can only be communicated to you and to me and to anybody else by the testimony of Jesus. It can only be communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. Otherwise, we will be communicating things at the level of our own intellect. Are you listening? It is Jesus Christ who communicates God's Word. The testimony of Jesus is so important because it is only through the testimony of Jesus that God's Word can be communicated accurately, perfectly, completely. And the reason why it can be communicated accurately, perfectly, and completely is simply because it is a communication in the spirit and life of Jesus. So Jesus Christ came into the world to explain God to us. Amen. Jesus Christ came into the world to explain God to us. And if he does not explain God to us, we cannot know God. And the reason why we can come to know God through Jesus Christ is because that word is being explained to us in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's why this school is built on revelation knowledge. Because revelation knowledge is the word that comes to you into your heart in the substance of the Master's fullness. Revelation knowledge unveils in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the basis of us coming to know and understand the Word of God. Know Jesus, know reality of the true Word of God. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. For something to be the truth, it has to be explained in the name of Jesus. It has to be explained in the testimony of Jesus. It has to be something that is communicated in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? The living and abiding Word of God, right, is the communication of God's Word through the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is designed to communicate the fullness of Jesus Christ. And in ministry, we have to learn as the church how to communicate the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. We know this verse. We have done it several times, but it's always good to reread the Word of God. Verse 22. You know the context of this is talking about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the surpassing greatness of God's power towards us who believe. And this power was brought forth according to the working of the strength of God's might, which he brought about in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he, the Father, put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. Verse 22. And the Father put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. He is the head of all things. And gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now the fullness of him who fills all in all is what is the mandate for the church. We are called to manifest the fullness of him who must fill all in all. The living and abiding Word of God is designed to unveil the fullness of Jesus Christ. The living and abiding Word of God stands in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And every time you receive the living and abiding Word of God, it always is a communication manifested in you in the spirit and life of Jesus. It is a communication in his faith and his love. It is a communication in his name. Right? So Jesus talks about the words that the Father has given him. Right? He goes to the cross. Why talk about the words that the Father has given him? The words that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Now they have come to know. Are you listening? Before that he said, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me. Right? Are you listening? So the Word of God has to be understood in the name of Jesus. The Word of God has to be communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. And that communication of the Word of God in the spirit and life of Jesus is only possible by the Holy Spirit. Right? Where did we find that? We found that in John 6:63, right? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have given to you or spoken to you are Spirit and life. They are Spirit and life simply because they are being brought to you by the Holy Spirit. They are my words, but they are being brought to you by the Holy Spirit. Listening? right? They are being brought to you by the Holy Spirit, and they are a living expression of my spirit in my life because they are my words. Are you listening? So the testimony of Jesus is alive in the Spirit of God. The testimony of Jesus is meant to explain the Word of God to us. Hello? So in the Old Testament, God manifested the Word as the law. Are you with me? And under the law, people were shut up in sin. Correct? Because the law convicted us of sin. Now to get out of that reality, the law has to be fulfilled in us. Are you with me? So Jesus came, He fulfilled the law in His spirit and His life. He fulfilled the law with His faith and His love for us. And He is now communicating the reality of the law fulfilled into us so that we will stand in the fulfillment of the law. And that's the living and abiding Word of God. That living and abiding Word of God saves you. For instance, thou shalt not steal is under the law. In the fulfillment of the law, the spirit and life of Jesus communicates into you and me the nature of Jesus Christ. And we will not steal. Because the nature of Jesus Christ will not steal. And that is the fulfillment of the law. But under the law it was thou shalt not steal. And we all tried to do our best, but our righteousness is filthy rags. And so the law shuts us all under the law at different levels, right? But in the fulfillment of the law, the spirit and life of Jesus manifested inside of us brings inside of us a realization of a nature that has got no desire to steal. It brings into us a conviction that will never want to steal. Are you with me? Do you realize that when you and I don't want to steal and never want to steal, we are saved? It is an expression of what has come alive in us, saving us. Saving us by bringing forth in us an actual transformation of our nature. We don't want to do what came to us naturally before. Are you listening? So God is communicating into us the spirit and life of Jesus. So the law said, declared the word of God, thou shalt not steal. But the testimony of Jesus is communicating to us that word in fulfilled terms. And it brings into you a nature and a conviction and a desire not to steal. And that is the fulfillment of the law. But you see, the fulfillment of the law did not exist without Jesus Christ. It cannot exist without Jesus Christ because it has got no meaning. Right? It has got no meaning. So the Word of God is explained to us through Jesus Christ. Explained to us through His life. Explained to us in His spirit and His life. Explained to us in His faith and His love. Explained to us in His nature. Explained to us in His character. And all that is the testimony of Jesus. Because Jesus lived the law in fulfilled terms, testifying that it can be fulfilled. Are you with me? Do you understand? It is so important that you understand that. Because there's darkness sweeping right across the earth. And the only thing that can stand against this darkness is the name of Jesus. The church must know how to function in the name of Jesus. And the only way we can function in the name of Jesus is through the living and abiding Word of God that communicates in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ, that communicates in the faith and love of Jesus, that communicates in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Word that carries the substance of His fullness that will set people free. Are you listening? And that is the word we are called to communicate. Praise the Lord. It is very important as we lead people into salvation that we communicate the word of God in the name of Jesus. Absolutely important that we communicate the word of God so that that person receives the word in the name of Jesus, receives the word in the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that that person receives the word that declares that Jesus has done for them something that they will never be able to do for themselves. That's why the word of the cross is so very, very fundamental to the Christian faith. Because on the cross, Jesus manifested a faith and a love that you don't have and I don't have. He manifested a faith and a love that Moses didn't have, Elijah didn't have, John the Baptist didn't have. In the word of the cross, Jesus, there is a communication in the faith and love of Jesus. There is a communication in the spirit and life of Jesus. There is a communication of His character, His nature. There is a communication of the entire testimony of who He is and all that He is. There is a communication of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And it is that fullness of Jesus Christ that the Word of God is designed to communicate. And when the Word of God communicates in the fullness of Jesus Christ, people will always be saved. And the process of being saved will continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross, I'm reading from the New American Standard. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God? We just said that Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of His power. The power of God is described in rhema. That rhema is in the spirit and life of Jesus. Listening? So the power that stands in the spirit and life of Jesus saves you. So the word of the cross is a communication of the word that saves you. Are you listening? The Greek word there for word is logos. It is the word that you have received, understood, and accepted. Are you listening? Logos always means this. It is the word, it's the rhema that you have come to receive, accept, and understand. The moment you receive, accept, and understand, that word becomes logos inside of you. Some measure is formed inside of you in substance. Are you listening? The substance of the Master's fullness. Now that substance of the Master's fullness is His words in logos terms that are living and abiding. Are you listening? It is that which saved you, and that is what is going to continue to save you. Are you listening? And that's how the church must understand the Word of God. Because if we don't understand the Word of God as being unveiled in the name of Jesus, we will end up practicing the law in a different disguise. We will practice the law in a new dressed up image of practicing principles. And you can take every law in the Old Testament and put it as a principle. Very fundamental. We must understand nobody is going to be saved by the law. And the same way, nobody is going to be saved by a principle. A principle can only become a reality in salvation if that principle is described in the spirit and life of Jesus. If that principle is quickened in the testimony of Jesus and explained in the testimony of Jesus. If that principle is communicated in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? There is no meaning to a principle on a standalone basis. It will end up where the law ended up. Just telling people you are wrong. So you can practice a principle, what, 40%, 50%, 60%. And that's about it, because that's all your righteousness can achieve. But God is talking about perfection. And perfection can only come in the spirit and life of Jesus. Perfection can only manifest in the faith and love of Jesus. Because the faith of Jesus is perfect faith. The love of Jesus is perfect love. And when the word of God is communicated in the perfect love and faith of Jesus Christ, we are saved. Are you listening, brethren? Right? So it's so important to understand the word of God in the testimony of Jesus.
verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Very important for us to understand. The righteousness of God is being manifested in the witness of the law and the prophets. That means the righteousness of God communicates in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So the righteousness of God always unveils in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. What man could not do, the righteousness of God brings into you. And this is the message that God wants us to understand. That the righteousness of God is what the testimony of Jesus is communicating. Through the faith and love of Jesus, God is communicating to you what He can do with you in Jesus' name. And that is a manifestation of the righteousness of God. It is very important that you understand that the righteousness of God is witnessed by the law and the prophets. That means we cannot do away with the Old Testament by simply saying it is old, it is out of date. Because if we don't see the fulfillment of the law, we will practice lawlessness. Are you listening? Right? And if you don't see the fulfillment of the prophets, right, you are just cooking up stuff in your own imagination. Right? So the Word of God is built on the law and the prophets. And that Word that is built on the law and the prophets is brought to life inside of us in such a way as to save us in the name of Jesus. Now what saves us is the faith and love of Jesus. What saves us is the faith and love of Jesus communicated to us in His Spirit and His life. Are you listening? All right, let's read verse 22. Romans chapter 3. Even the righteousness of God through faith. The modern translations all use the word faith in Jesus Christ. If you go to the old King James Version, it says faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a world of a difference between faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right. It tells you something here, that there is something called the faith of Jesus Christ that communicates the righteousness of God. So the faith of Jesus Christ communicates to you literally an act of God. David cried out, "O God, save me by your name." Jesus is bringing that into you through his faith. God, through the faith of Jesus Christ, can change you and me. David was a man of faith, but he found that there came a point in his life where his faith was very faulty. His faith could not bridge the inabilities of his character and his nature. Are you listening? And so he realizes that God had to do something in order to save him. So he cries out to God and he says, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your power, because I'm through with my faith. I'm through with what my faith can do. I need something from you. I need something that has to be a manifestation of your righteousness." Right? Do something for me because I can't do it. Hello? Are you listening? So what did God do for us? He sent His Son. He sent His Son as a human being, and He lived amongst us, and He ultimately chose to die for us. Right? As a man, He developed a faith in God. He developed a love for God, and that was tested on the cross. That faith and that love for God, that faith in God, that love for God was tested on our behalf. And Jesus chose to express His faith and His love in order to save us. He said, "Father, forgive them." And then He overcame our sin, right? By overcoming that darkness that was inflicted against Him. So Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and His Spirit was found to be the Spirit of holiness. You listening, guys? Alright? Are you listening? All right. So verse 22, we're taking it from the old King James Bible. All right. The righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ for all those who believe. The righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ. That's a very important reality. Why is it that the living and abiding Word of God can save us? Why are we born again by the living and abiding Word of God? Because fundamentally the living and abiding Word of God comes into you in the faith of Jesus for you. Are you listening? Fundamentally, the living and abiding Word of God comes to you in the love of Jesus for you. He saved you. He saved me. He continues to save you and me. He ever lives to intercede for us. We read from the book of Hebrews, right? You remember that verse? Hebrews chapter 7, I think it is somewhere in verse 25 or 26. It says that Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, it says that He is a mediator of a covenant with us, right? A new covenant, right? What is He mediating that covenant with? His faith and His love for us. Are you understanding that? Right? So the Word of God is manifesting what Jesus is praying for and then mediating into our beings. Are you listening? And it comes to us in the faith and love of Jesus. That's why it saves us. That's why you and I, as potential instruments of God, must understand that we must learn how to do everything in the name of Jesus. We must learn how to worship in the name of Jesus. We must learn how to counsel in the name of Jesus. We must learn how to preach the word in the name of Jesus. We must learn how to pray in the name of Jesus through the word that stands in His spirit and His life. Are you listening? Hello? The Church of Jesus Christ is explaining too many things in its own intellect. We are not manifesting revelation knowledge. We are not manifesting revelation knowledge that comes in the living Christ. We are not manifesting revelation knowledge that manifests in the name of Jesus. And the process of salvation is not being communicated as it can be, as it should be. The power that is locked up in the Rhema word is not being released. That power that the book of Ephesians says is the surpassing greatness of His power. The power that is above any and every other kind of power. And after 2,000 years of Christianity, that power has barely been manifested. That power has barely been manifested. We have not learned how to use resurrection power. We have not learned how to function by the Holy Spirit so that that resurrection power in the name of Jesus will be manifested inside of us and through us in everything. Because that power can bring into us all change, brethren. All that we find impossible to do. Because that power stands in the spirit and life of Jesus. Because that power is a communication of the faith and love of Jesus. Are you listening? That power unveils in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Brethren, as we set our hearts to become servants of the living God, vessels of the living God, we must understand we can only serve God in the name of Jesus. We can only serve God by communicating the fullness of Jesus Christ. We can only be vessels manifesting the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is our destiny. That is our purpose. We are created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. We are created in His fullness and we are then called to manifest that fullness into all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. So that there will be a continual process of salvation from every member of the body of Christ, 24 hours of the day. Hello. All this can be by the Spirit. Are you listening? All this is by the Spirit. So what is the living and abiding word of God? It is the word that is communicated in the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is the word that unveils in the substance of his fullness. Faith is the substance of hope. When the substance is manifested, it becomes an evidence. When that evidence is manifested inside of you, the word of God is living and abiding. Are you listening, brethren? Remember, the substance is of the master's person. It is of the master's the master's being. It is of the master's nature. Are you listening? I'm talking here about Mashiach Yeshua. Right? I'm talking here about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Messiah. I'm saying, right, that the substance of his fullness depicts the Messiah's fullness. And that substance of his fullness, when it becomes an evidence inside of you, you are born again. Right? Are you listening? And that evidence is the living and abiding word of God that has taken form inside of you. It has brought into you the beginning of a whole new universe of reality. You are born again. Right? Now you are called to develop that wonder that was established in you when you were born again. Develop and communicate that wonder of salvation into all that you do in thought, word, and in deed. We have the potentials to communicate salvation 24 hours of the day. We have the potentials to communicate salvation in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms all the time. We can do it because we are alive by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Are you listening, brethren? That is the law of life, Romans 8:2. That is the law of life that sets you free from the law of sin and death. That which sets you free from the law of sin and death is called salvation. And salvation is simply learning how to live in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening, brethren? All right? Amen? Let's go back to Romans chapter 10. Verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. The Greek word for word there is rhema. What is faith? Substance. What does rhema have? The intent of manifesting the substance. What is the substance supposed to be of? The fullness of Jesus Christ. Why does it have to be the fullness of Jesus Christ? Simply because Jesus is the truth. So the word of God can only be manifested in you in truth if the substance is of him. And you must understand that. So the word that is in your mouth, the word that is in your heart, must stand in the name of Jesus. That word of faith has only got meaning in the name of Jesus. It only has meaning in the spirit and life of Jesus. It only has meaning in his fullness. Are you listening? Because the substance must be of him. Because unless the substance is of him, the rest of the verses won't make sense. That's why it says, right, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, right, that means the word that you manifest must confess Jesus as Lord. Because this reality of the word of faith will not work if you do not confess Jesus as Lord. Are you with me? And you must confess Jesus as Lord in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. That means there must be a desire in you to communicate Jesus as Lord. So it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Why believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Because in the rising of Jesus Christ there is a power called resurrection power that can do all things to transform your life. You see, Jesus being raised from the dead is not merely a historical event. Jesus being raised from the dead is a reality that you and I are supposed to receive and realize as a living witness. The power of that resurrection is our inheritance, it is our possession. It comes to us in the spirit and life of Jesus, and your heart is meant to capture that. Your heart is meant to capture that. All right, you shall be saved. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right? You confess with your mouth he is Lord. You believe that he rose from the dead and you shall be saved. You shall be saved because in his lordship, in his risen position and power, right? There is a reality of salvation that will continually come alive in you. Do you know you can live like that all the time? Hello. It's just that you need to change the way you speak. That you can live in the consciousness of Jesus Christ all the time. And you can continually receive and realize the power of his resurrection, the power of his salvation all the time. In conscious, subconscious and unconscious terms. Why? Because the word is living and abiding law. Yeah? Why? Because the word is living and abiding. If it's living and abiding, it doesn't take a break. Right? If it's living and abiding, it does not take a break. Right? Alright, verse 10. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. Who are you believing? You are believing God. What are you believing God for? You're believing the fact that God has saved you. You are believing that God has the power to save you. He has the power to change you. He has the power to transform you. He has the power to enable you. You believe that, and it's counted as righteousness. Hello. The word that is living and abiding stands according to who God is and according to all that God is, right? It is according to his name. Are you listening? All right. One of the names of God is Yahweh Tsidkenu. I am who I am. I am that I am. I am your righteousness. All right. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Because your mouth articulates what your heart carries. And in that articulation, there is a reality manifested inside of you. You are proclaiming a reality. And in that reality, there is salvation. But you must understand that your mouth speaks all the time. Right? The mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. Amen? So if your mouth speaks life, then you will receive and realize life. Hello. This is how you train yourself for ministry. Because everything in ministry must stand in the reality of salvation. If you're not speaking salvation, what are you teaching? Hello. If we preach a manipulative sermon or we preach a teaching that is meant to just tickle the ears of people, we are not manifesting any salvation there. All right? Are you with me? For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. In him, in Jesus Christ, will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. Amen. When we talk about the witness that stands in blood, water and spirit, 1 John chapter 5 verse 10, 1 John chapter 5 verse 8, you will begin to realize that we are talking about an awesome reality that is alive in us all the time. You need to come alive to that witness. You need to come alive to that witness so that you can proclaim the salvation of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what have we said about salvation? Salvation is manifested in the Word of God. That Word of God only manifests salvation in the reality of being living and abiding. And that reality of the living and abiding Word of God stands according to who He is and all that He is. And that Word of God that stands according to who He is and all that He is can only be explained to you, can only be manifested to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can only be communicated to you through the testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? That which is communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. That which communicates in the faith and love of Jesus for you personally. The testimony of Jesus is the means by which a covenant is going to be mediated into your heart. The testimony of Jesus, right, is the means by which God explains Himself to you. And the word that comes to you in the testimony of Jesus, that is the word that is communicated to you in the faith and love of Jesus through His Spirit and His life, is what becomes the living and abiding word. What Jesus says, "My words that will not pass away." Luke 21 verse 33. "My words that will not pass away." Are you listening? The imperishable word of God. So you are born again, as Peter writes. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. You are born again by the seed of the word that is imperishable. That living and abiding word of God. That living and abiding logos of God. Are you listening, brethren? Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your grace that enables us to receive a reality of the Word that is living and abiding. We know, Father, that anything that is living and abiding is sustained in You and by You and through You. So we know, Lord, that that which is made living and abiding within us comes forth in the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. And so we thank You, Lord, that the word that is being explained into each one of us, Father, has the potentials of unveiling in us the awesome power of the faith and love of Jesus, the awesome power of His resurrection. And the Holy Spirit is there to work that reality into us so that we will be fully and completely saved in the name of Jesus. So we thank You, Father, that Your living and abiding word has been given to us, not just for us to be born again, but for us to realize all of salvation, Father. Because that living and abiding word can be continually working inside of us in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. Provided our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, provided our focus and our understanding unveils in the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive in us to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ. So Father, let this mystery of Your word be released into our being. Let the mystery of Your word that stands according to who You are and all that You are be released into us. Let the mystery of Your word be explained to us in the faith and love of Jesus. Let the mystery of Your word communicate to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. Let the testimony of Jesus explain You to us, Lord, so that we may receive all things without any kind of misunderstanding. Because that which is explained in the testimony of Jesus stands explained in His Spirit and His life. And His Spirit and His life communicating His faith and His love, Father, is perfect, Lord. So that's why Jesus said, "I am the truth." So let the truth manifest in us. Let the way be opened in us. And let the life come forth, Lord, so that we may truly proclaim the life of Jesus in all that we become, in all that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed. For what You have released in the word today to us, Father, we bless You. We thank You. We glorify You. We bow before You with gratitude. Enable us to understand this word. Enable us to chase after the revelation. And enable us to understand the implications of this revelation in all that we do in the ministries that You are giving us, Father. Let that ministry proclaim the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.